Hello, welcome to ESL Etc. My name is Dave. Please check out the website at eseletc.com or you can email me at eseletc@gmail.com. The purpose of this show and the purpose of the website are to talk about language teaching and offer some ideas, talk about some problems, offer some materials. And more specifically, my real interest is dealing with bringing global issues, environmental issues, and activism into language teaching. So a lot of the materials on the website focus on that, and a lot of the podcasts are going to kind of focus on that too. On the website, like I said, there's materials that I've made. There's links to other resources. There's a forum where you can post your own materials, post your own ideas, ask questions, those types of things. So please check it out. Before I get started, I'd like to wish everyone a happy Earth Day. In the next week or two, I'll put up some pictures and a little bit of an explanation about an activity that Kira ran on Earth Day. She actually posted it in the forums. I think it became more elaborate by the time she actually ran it. There were a couple of information stations. There was a survey to ask students what environmentally responsible behaviors they already did, which ones they wanted to try. There was a secondhand gift exchange, there was a band. It was a really great event, and it went really well. I'll post some pictures on the website, too. In keeping with the Earth Day theme, I'd like to continue from where we left off last week. So I was talking about the project that Kira and I undertook to make an English program more environmentally responsible. Last week, I talked about the student orientation that we designed and also the food purchasing decisions we made. I also talked about how we shifted from using disposable plates and utensils and disposable styrofoam cups to reusable ones. All that stuff and all the stuff I'm about to say is explained in a fair amount of detail on the website, so you can take a look there in case you have any questions. And feel free also to post any questions you might have about this project in the forums. Today, I'd like to talk about some of the activities that we created. The first two activities I'm going to talk about are also described in a paper that is posted on the website. I'll link to it in the show notes. Basically, I took a class on using literature in the language classroom, and I wrote a paper about environmental literature activities. So the first activity that I'm going to talk about is an environmental drama, and the second one is about global issues and poetry. And both of those, I'll talk about them here, but both of those are explained pretty thoroughly in that paper. Okay, so the first activity that I'd like to talk about is the environmental drama. This is an activity that Kira had done before while she was teaching in China. She's currently designing an environmental drama elective course for the fall semester. So I'd like to have her on the podcast to talk about that sometime soon. She's got a lot of other projects that I'd like to have her talk about as well, but maybe that'll be the first one. So anyways, this environmental drama activity, it ran during the second term of our project to make HELP, the Hawaii English Language Program, more environmentally responsible. The way HELP is set up, it has 2 8-week terms for every 16-week college semester. So this activity ran during the second fall term of last year. It was a 4-day-long activity. Students read a book called Maui Maui by Stephen Cosgrove. Let me briefly summarize that book. Basically, it tells the story of the Amamanis, which are small, furry, mongoose-like creatures. Maybe I should mention it's a children's book, okay? And these creatures, they love to fish, but they routinely catch and cook much more than they can eat, and they throw the excess onto garbage beach. One day, Maui Maui, a whale, comes and takes the queen, Mom Amamani, under the sea to show her how overfishing has depleted the ocean. After that, the queen goes back and delivers the message to the Amamanis, and the Amamanis from that day forward try to live in balance with the world around them. The book actually ends kind of ominously, though, because the last scene is a boat full of men, a boat full of humans, coming in to fish in those waters. Anyways, so that's the story. Obviously, it deals with overfishing, but from there, you can easily get into, you know, overconsumption, resource use, waste, living sustainably, a lot of really important issues. So the first day, students took turns and they read the story aloud. During this time, the teacher answered any questions they had about grammar, vocabulary, and content. And then the teacher introduced the idea of using a story to write a play. Now, our original plan was to have them write a script based on the story, and we gave them a script that Kira had written the last time she did this activity for them to use as a model. As a class, though, the students and the teacher decided that they didn't want to run it that way. They decided that they wanted to, instead of focusing on the creative side of things, they wanted to use it as an opportunity to work on pronunciation and intonation. So they pretty much used the model. They made some changes, but not a lot. They pretty much just followed the model. Instead of spending time writing, they spent time working on their pronunciation skills. They actually used tape recorders, recorded lines, and really tried to improve their, I think primarily they worked on sentence level intonation. Some of what I'm going to be saying about the running of this activity is speculation. I was not the teacher of this activity. The teacher did a really wonderful job. The results were great. But I don't know, you know, exactly what they did every day. Anyways. So in addition to spending time working on pronunciation, learning their lines, getting comfortable with the story, they also made props and costumes, and they performed at the end of the term banquet. At HELP, at the end of each term, they have a pretty formal banquet where there's a stage and student performances. We'll have student speakers. Sometimes students will play a musical instrument. There's a hula performance. And so the play was performed there and videotaped, and you can check that out. It's available at the HELP website, which is a really well put together website. The teacher who's running the website recently added a media page where they've got slideshows and the footage of this performance. Yeah, I kind of went through that pretty quickly. So like I said, there's a paper on the website that you can look at for some more information, and feel free to visit the forums if you have any questions, and Kira or I will do our best to answer them. The next activity that I want to talk about was also in the second term. It was one of the alternatives that we offered to students who had already done the student orientation. So the first term, every student did the orientation. The second term, only new students did the orientation. And again, this one's also talked about in that paper. So this activity dealt with global issues and poetry. And most of them were about environmental issues, but not all. Students began by reading six poems. Actually, I think I did run this activity. I think we only did five of the poems because I realized that time was running short. And I think four would have been enough, really. I asked one student to read each poem out loud, except for Two Young Women, which we read as a dialogue, one student and another student. That poem is laid out with alternating lines by two different young women, and so that reading it that way made sense. That poem, I'm not sure which book that's from. If you look at the paper and in the references, all of the poems are included, and you can also see where they're from in the paper. Most of the poems were from the book Rethinking Globalization, which is a really neat book. It's aimed at American high school students, maybe junior high school students. It's a really neat textbook. It's big, too. A lot of interesting activities, some of which are available on their website. I'll put a link to their website. I think it might just be rethinkingschools.org. It's Rethinking Schools is the magazine, which is interesting, but too immigration focused. It just doesn't have a lot to do with my experience in the classroom, but it's a neat magazine. Anyways, the other book that we used, I think, was also published by Rethinking Schools. It's called Reading, Writing, and Rising Up. I think some of the poems might have been from there. Even if they weren't from there, that's a neat book, too. One thing that's cool about that book is it has a lot of student examples in it, so you can have student-written poems that you're using as the content. Anyways, just two places to look for poems. But I think, actually, one of the poems was also found online. Okay, so we read these poems, and then each poem, in addition to being chosen for its content and its the topics that it brought out, I chose each of these poems because there were elements that could be used to model so that students could write a poem using that as an example. Let me read one of them just to kind of show you what I'm talking about. Okay, I really like this poem. So this is called God to a Hungry Child by Langston Hughes. Hungry child, I didn't make this world for you. You didn't buy any stock in my railroad. You didn't invest in my corporation. Where are your shares in Standard Oil? I made this world for the rich, and the will be rich, and the have always been rich. Not for you, hungry child. Okay, so another thing I should have mentioned, these poems are pretty short, and that's not accidental either. So after they read the poem, I asked them to choose one that they liked the best. Unfortunately, only one person chose this poem. I had a couple Shel Silverstein poems, and those were kind of popular. The Two Young Women one was kind of popular. And so we ended up with groups based on the poems that they had chosen. Then in their groups, I asked them to do some discussion questions. If you look in the references of my environmental literature activities paper, you can see the handouts that I made. And so each handout has a poem at the top and then discussion questions underneath. The first three discussion questions are the same for every poem. So I asked, the first question says, underline a few vocabulary words and talk to your group about what they mean. Write their definition next to them. Okay. Second one, if there are any parts of the poem you're confused about or don't understand, ask the people in your group. Third part, talk about what the poem means. What do you think the poet is trying to say? What is the poet's message or point? Okay, so those three were used for all of the poems. They're not really interesting questions, but I wanted to make it kind of standard and general so that I could explain it to the class as a whole. This whole activity was done in only 2 hours, so it had to be kind of efficient. And then on each handout, the fourth question is different and is specific to each poem. So the question I asked for the poem that I just read is, look at the world around us. Who does it seem that God made this world for? Why does it seem that way? So the poem, of course, is saying he made it for the rich, but they could say, I think he made it for Americans. I think he made it for men. I think he made it for ants. I don't know, whatever. So it was just, I wanted to get them thinking. And one thing that I tried to do with the fourth question for each of the poems was to lead them into the kind of thinking that would help them to write their own poem using that the poem as an example or as a model. So they talked about those discussion questions. I just kind of floated around from group to group and answered any questions that came up. The next thing then was for them to write their poems. So let me read the instructions about writing the poem, and I also tried to explain this in more detail orally. But on each of the handouts, it says almost, it starts with something that's the same on every handout, and then it goes into something that's poem specific about the elements that they're supposed to follow in their modeling. So for the poem that I read, God to a Hungry Child, I said, look at the overall structure of the poem and think about how you could make a similar poem yourself. Talk to your groupmates about your ideas. Try writing a poem from the point of view of God to a person or thing. So that's the modeling idea. And that was it. The issue was up to them, just the structure of, you know, basically writing a letter in the form of a poem from God to a person or thing. If you want, I said, you can include some global or environmental issue in your poem, and you can use this poem as a model. If you're trying to think of an idea, think about a problem or something that is difficult or unfair in the world, and imagine how God would explain that. That was the example. And one student, like I said, chose this, and I think, I don't have his poem in front of me, but I think he wrote, the title of his poem was like, God to a Developing Country. And it was about how he made the world for the industrialized nations. So it was actually really good. And that student was from East Timor. So it was personally relevant to him. So I gave students a while to write a poem, maybe 30 minutes or so, maybe a little bit longer. And I encouraged them throughout the process and then after they finished to share with their classmates. Some of the students, especially some of the lower level students, wrote their poem in a group, which is a nice way to handle different levels in an activity. So in this activity, there was no sorting of levels. So, and it helped, there's a pretty big range in levels. So every level was eligible for this activity. Allowing them to work in groups and to kind of help each other helped to mediate that. After they wrote their poems, I asked for volunteers to share. And I would say about maybe six people. There was actually kind of a big group. I had about 23 or 24 students, I think. And I think six of them wanted to share. And then we were out of time. It was a really, I liked the activity, and the student poems that came out of it were really good. I'll look and see if I have any. I don't think I have any here. There might be some in the paper. I'm not sure. But I'd like to include some examples. In general, though, I've had pretty good luck when I've asked students to write poetry. One of the things that's neat about using poetry is grammatical mistakes become interesting choices in poetry. Okay, it's no coincidence that those are the first two activities that I talked about. Those were the two that went the best. Those were also the two that went, or two of the ones that ran during the second term. Let me talk a little bit about how the activities were structured differently between those two terms. The first term, during the first week, every student went to orientation. During weeks, I think it was weeks 5 and 6, every student chose one of 5 2-day environmentally themed activities. Didn't go really well. Students overwhelmingly chose to watch an environmental movie, which will be the next activity that I talk about. And it was really frustrating because we spent a lot of time developing these really engaging and, you know, what we thought were interesting activities, and students just wanted to watch a movie. And really overwhelmingly, I mean, maybe out of 80 students, 50 chose to watch the movie, something like that. So the second term, we did things differently. On the first week, we had student orientation, and then I think we ran maybe 3 or 4 other activities for the students, and they were all environmentally themed, for the students that had already done the orientation. For the rest of the term, students chose 1 4-day activity that they were going to do on 4 Fridays throughout the term. Only one of those was environmentally themed, and that was the play. I'll go kind of quickly through the other activities, only because I think most of them are pretty straightforward. So the one I just mentioned was an environmental movie. The first term, the movie that we used was Princess Mononoke, which is an absolutely fantastic animation. How can you explain the story? Well, it talks about a conflict between humans and the forest spirits, where they're creating pollution, they're deforesting areas, and the spirits of the forest are getting angry. And those spirits are manifested in these animal gods and the forest spirit himself or itself, which is not really an animal god, but something bigger than that. Anyway, so there's a physical conflict between these spirits and the humans. So there's this message about, you know, the conflict between humankind and nature put forth in a really intense and visually exciting way. So this movie, when we did the activity, it was broken up over 2 days. It's kind of a long movie. It's over 2 hours long. And we had a worksheet that we asked students to fill out while they were watching it. On that worksheet, they kept track of the relative morality of different characters in the movie. One thing that's really interesting about the movie is that none of the characters are 100% good or 100% bad. So we asked them to kind of keep track of who, some of the main characters, and think about what good things did they do, what bad things did they do, and at the end to kind of judge who were the really good people, who were the bad people, and why. We also created some discussion questions for them to talk about at different points throughout the film. So we would stop the movie and they could talk about some things, and then we'd keep going. Kira has subsequently done this activity here in China, and I think with good results. One thing she did this term that was really neat was have students act out some of the scenes, giving them copies of the script. And maybe she can talk about that sometime too. But that's a more involved thing that you could certainly do with this movie, and that she's had good experience with. Another one of the activities that we created, this one I think is cool, but it didn't actually run. It was, again, this was set up to be one of the two-day activities during the first term. I guess you would call it like an environmental art activity. We had a lot of environmentally themed artwork. Some of it is stuff that Kira had done. Some of it is stuff that her friends and students had done. And so at the beginning, we would show one of them and kind of interpret it as a class. Then we would show several other examples and have them pick in groups pictures to talk about and interpret it in a group and then present their interpretation to the class. After that, either in groups or individually, we would have them plan and create an environmentally themed or global issues themed piece of artwork of their own. We had, you know, art supplies that we had purchased for that purpose. After that, they would present their artwork to the class. Maybe, I guess if you had time, you could first show it and have the class try to interpret it themselves, and then the artist could correct or add stuff where necessary. That would be pretty cool, actually. And after they presented their artwork to the class, we were going to have them find a place in the school to hang it. Yeah, it's too bad. We didn't get enough people to sign up to run that activity. That was the term, like I said, where everybody signed up to do the movie. And I think that's a real shame. I think that would have been really cool. Okay, the next activity is pretty simple. We had students read articles and readings from workbooks about different global issues, talk about them in small groups. Some of the articles had writing exercises or worksheets associated with them. Unfortunately for this activity, none of the materials are on the website because all the readings that we used came from textbooks at HELP. So I photocopied stuff, so I don't actually have digital copies of any of that. But it's really, I mean, any teacher could put together, you know, a bunch of global issues articles and make some discussion questions for them. That's pretty simple. Anyways, so that was one activity. That ran as a two-day activity, and that also was offered as one of the one-day alternatives to the new student orientation. Oh, the movie was also offered as an alternative. Although I think, if I remember correctly, I think that they showed The Day After Tomorrow, the second term, as the environmental movie. Whether or not that's an environmental movie, well, I'll leave that up to you to decide. But anyways, the last activity, to be honest, I feel like I might be forgetting one, but the last activity that I can remember is the hike. And I took students on a 3-hour hike, taught them a little bit about the local plants, the little that I know. It was kind of a flop. Students, you know, I really stressed in the sign-up sheet, we're going to be walking, it was supposed to be a 4-hour hike. So I was stressing, we're going to be walking uphill, it's going to be hot, bring water, wear the right shoes, don't sign up unless you want to walk for 4 hours. And, you know, we were walking for 15 minutes and people were already kind of complaining, are we there yet, and stuff like that. And so that was really frustrating. But in the end, it was okay. Like, the destination, it's a great hike. It's a wonderful, I mean, in Hawaii, there's a lot of really good hikes, and this is a nice one. And we saw some cool stuff. We got to eat some strawberry guava along the way. And then there's some yellow, I don't know if it's yellow strawberry guava, but there's some kind of yellow guava that we were eating too. And we saw a really cool, I think it was a chameleon. Anyway, so it was kind of a neat hike. But and I think the students were pretty happy at the end of it. But it was still, I was still kind of frustrated that they weren't more enthusiastic. Anyways, but I think hikes are a neat thing to do as an environmental activity, especially, I don't know a lot about plants and animals, but it'd be really nice to teach some things, especially local things. I think that helps to really kind of engage students. Oh, let me mention another activity. We didn't do this one, and we didn't even really finish planning it. We actually did spend a fair amount of time preparing it, though. On the campus of the University of Hawaii, a lot of trees are labeled. And we went around and kind of created scavenger hunt clues for some of the really interesting trees. And we were going to do a scavenger hunt where they would go around and find the plants that corresponded to these different clues. I think that would have been a really fun activity, but it ended up being kind of more involved in terms of planning than we ended up having time for. And after the fiasco with everyone wanting to do movies, that kind of took the wind out of our sails as far as planning these more involved activities. Okay, well, that's all the time we have for this week. If you have any questions or comments about the activities that I've been talking about, please visit the website. There's a more thorough description of the project, the Making an English Program More Environmentally Responsible project. And also in the forums, you can ask questions or post your thoughts. I'd love to hear what people think about this project and these activities. Also, please feel free to visit the forums and let us know if you did anything for Earth Day. I'd love to see other materials. Oh, and just in case anyone out there is waiting anxiously for the next episode, it'll be a little late and I might even skip a week. But I'll get one up as soon as I can. Okay, thank you very much for listening, and until next time, bye-bye.